I have a very distinct Good Friday memory from my childhood that's always stuck with me. I was around 8 or 9 years old, and yes, in those days, the 1950s, kids were sent off to Good Friday services unaccompanied. The church, the Roman Catholic Church, was very packed. No seats left, and the people stood all the way up the side aisles. I was with another crowd, mostly young people, in the space at the very back of the church. We were all kneeling on the hard marble floor after going up for Holy Communion. And I noticed a couple of teenage girls weeping, weeping uncontrollably as they knelt. I realized they were weeping about Jesus, that all they heard during the Good Friday service hit them on this very deep personal level. As a young and very devout child, I was impressed, possibly even envious of their reaction. And every Good Friday, I remember this, and I'm still intrigued by that level of emotion, that intensity of taking the cross personally. This death reenacted during the Good Friday service, experienced as a close personal loss. And today, Good Friday, we're again brought to the foot of the cross. And perhaps we approach it with awe or distance, with emotion or apathy, out of desire or duty, with total faith or with wavering faith, with certainty or confusion about what it all means to us on a personal level. My God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine the reaction of the disciples and Mary, the mother of Jesus, hearing Jesus' words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? At the foot of the cross, they had to feel defeat along with their heartbreak and perhaps a wavering of faith. Hearing those words of doubt, how could they not also doubt? How could we not? Christ died for us. Christ was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Christ is our Redeemer and Savior by his death on the cross. These are mighty phrases, and we stand connected by our faith when we hear them. We can take comfort in them. But I'm a practical person, and I've often tried to get beyond these words, seeking the how and why of it all, trying to make more relatable sense of Jesus dying on the cross, to bridge the gap I felt about what Jesus dying on that cross was supposed to be and was supposed to do for me personally. I found I needed to bring it to a more factual, yes, less beautifully stated, but a more practical understanding. And I came closest to that understanding in simply recognizing the political motivations of the execution of Jesus. Jesus was a threat, a growing threat to the Jewish leaders as his followers increased, and a threat to the Roman authorities, as anyone gathering a following would be, but especially with all this Messiah and King language being tossed around. The raising of Lazarus and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem were surely the last straws. Jesus was a rebel, and his teachings were exposing and deflating things that kept the Jewish people oppressed, not just by Rome, but also by their own Jewish leaders. As the Word of God made flesh, Jesus' life and teaching showed them how to live as an oppressed people and shows us how to live with the freedom that believing in a loving God offers. This was his ministry and mission on earth. So when things came to a boil, all Jesus needed to do to save himself was to stop his teaching, abandon the mission, just be quiet and go away. He would soon be forgotten. But he didn't do that. He stuck with his mission and ministry on earth. And that is the catalyst. That is what got him crucified. And he did it so his teachings, his way of life, would live on in us. He did it so we would know that what he said was true. And so, he stretched out his arms. I've always felt good about that image. And I love the beautiful words from the prayer that's one of the selections for morning prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. God's love is set free in the outstretched arms of Jesus. The love that means forgiveness is granted. Hope follows defeat. Resurrection follows death. But for today, it's the outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross. Sometimes I see it as the outstretched loving arms of the best hug ever. All the really good hugs start with outstretched arms, right? The cross is not the killing of Christ, the killing of hope. It's the pathway to resurrection, the opening of both the tomb and God's arms to embrace the world. There is suffering and great need, and we're challenged not to deny the cross, but to share it, not to move too quickly towards the resurrection, but to devote ourselves now to those who are in agony right in our midst. That's what we can do. That's taking it personally. The last part of that prayer passage I read earlier is, so clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth with our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you. Our hands, our arms, our embraces need to be the extension, the reach of the saving embrace of those arms of love stretched out on the cross. That's taking it personally.